Is there an expiration date on the Pledge of Allegiance? Do we need to do that again?
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to this afternoon's action agenda of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. At this point, we're going to open up to public comments. We have folks that are signed up. I'm just going to go through and follow how people are signed up. So if I'm going to ask, I'm going to call out two or three names at a time. If I can ask people, maybe just the comments start to line up so we can just go, we don't have to wait for folks to come back from their seats or seats up. Okay. Is Matt Cato? Matt Cato? Okay. Then Kelly Grimm. Then Jennifer Wampler.
Good afternoon. My name is Matt Cato. I'm the president of the Western Prince William Homeowners Alliance. Our alliance represents several thousand homes in the area that this road impacts, the bi-county, tri-county parkway. We're hopeful that each one of you will read and enter into your formal record Congressman Wolf's letter. It articulates some significant concerns about the pathway and the route of this road. There are alternatives. We hope you will look at those alternatives. They will agree with the objectives if the alternatives are used, but you will avoid many of the big problems. The closure of Route 234 is not a NIMBY issue, not in my backyard. It has broad regional impacts on a major transportation artery from our neck of the woods down to Manassas. If you eliminate Route 234, which you voted to do in February prior to the other facility being built, the Battlefield Bypass, you eliminate a major transportation corridor into Manassas, and more importantly, you force all of us who live in this area to access Route 66 at the Gainesville intersection. And in doing so, you create a commuter nightmare. Unless you're willing to invest before you do this in expanding Route 66, and if you do that, you might as well go ahead and fix 28 and 66, and then you will have a real solution. You won't need this corridor road in order to improve cargo traffic into Dulles Airport. If you build this road, you will increase safety problems on Cat-Harpin Road and Featherbed Road, which will become the major corridors down to the Gainesville intersection on 66. These are rural roads that currently block truck traffic. You will increase that safety problem for families that use that road. The CTB relied in February on the congressional mandate, which says that you have to shut down the intersection of 234 and 28. Congressman Wolf addresses that issue. He was the sponsor of that bill. If you read what he says, it was not intended to do what you did in February. There is confusion that reigns throughout this area about what you attempted to do and what this new facility will do, the Bi-County Parkway. When this was raised in a public meeting, the author of a resolution in February that shut down Route 234 in this meeting said it didn't happen. It was the person who actually made the motion, and you voted on it. There is confusion everywhere about what you're attempting to do, and we wonder why the citizens are concerned today about why this change in policy is going to impact them dramatically. We need to eliminate that confusion. We welcome more public hearings. We invited the public officials to come to a citizens' town hall. All invitations were refused. If we truly are interested, and that was just held a couple of weeks ago at Bull Run Middle School, where hundreds of citizens showed up in order to get more information, every public official rejected that invitation. The historical significance of the battlefield is not just within where the visitor center is. You're asking, as a part of this facility, and VDOT plans to give $3 million to the National Park Service as a compensation for taking the perimeter of the battlefield away. The significance of the Manassas battlefield does not reside where the visitor center is. It is where the battles were fought. And Pageland Land is on the perimeter where the most significant Civil War battlefield were held. And we are going to trample not just on the rights of those property owners who have invested in that area, you're going to trample on the very sacred ground that battlefield took. And you're asking us as taxpayers to pay the $3 million to shut down the road and to trample upon that historical significance. We think that the right thing to do is to step back, to look at this, to look at the alternatives, and find ways to really accommodate the needs of expanding the Dulles Airport corridor, and don't do it by creating a cargo road that runs through some of the most significant areas historically in Prince William County, and in the process shuts down and creates a commuter nightmare when you shut down 234. 29, if you do traffic calming, if you do it effectively, eliminates that as an alternative to Route 66, because if you slow it down, people are going to try to go on the faster route. You can find alternatives. We encourage you to do so. We think that in the end, if you delay this decision, look at those alternatives, that you will find common agreement among the community there that's directly impacted. We would welcome your doing so. Thank you.
Ms. Grimm, Jennifer Wampler, and the Mary Ann Gadman.
I just brought some items that if any of you are interested in an update on this subject, you can grab that at your leisure. Someone said to me when I came into the room today to look for the sign that said, abandon hope to all who enter, and not sure what they meant by that, but maybe because the meetings get really long. But I'd like to cling to one of my conservative folk heroes, a man of uncomplicated, true Americanism, who said, when the road looks rough ahead, remember the man upstairs and the word hope. Hang on to both and tough it out. So if you'll just tough it out for about 2 minutes with me. I came from our council meeting in Percival last night, said goodbye to my daughter as my husband and I had spoken at the meeting, as we regularly attend and take her with us. And Percival's a little tiny town in comparison to this neck of the woods, 2,500 households, not more than about 7,700 men, women, and children, 5,000 voters. So I left and came down here, spent the night. Good thing that traffic can be a bear. But I'm here to speak about the issue. It's just symbolic to be here. I understand that because I don't have high expectations. It doesn't matter what I say. We have some politicians that don't like to hear the word no. Most of you got a package maybe about 2 weeks ago or so. And I'd like to dispute that myself or any of the other people who signed some letters that were detailed and put together as a group, not near as many people that actually feel the same way. But I'm not a disgruntled resident that petitioned business owners to sign something against the grant for a streetscape in Percival. In fact, it was last year about this time in April that Mr. Nichols of the Nichols Hardware Store, it's a 100-year-old store, been in the same location on 21st where this project's being proposed, that he went to the town and primarily said the proposed renovations, which include destruction of historic streets and sidewalks, will negatively impact vehicular and pedestrian traffic. This will severely hamper the ability of the merchants on 21st Street to conduct business. The town of Percival's track record on previous such projects, the changes done on 23rd, if you understand this project, 23rd is a part of or falls into 21st. That project was nothing like this secondary streetscape is going to be, because this isn't a streetscape project. This is an entire rip-up of a historic road. But that took 18 months. And along with that, the town had up to five or more environmental and safety violations that they had to remedy as they went along. And the business owners would say that was a very difficult project to endure. Now, they did, feeling as though that was the project. I've been in Percival 6 years, and I can say, along with the other business owners, that no one anticipated, because it hasn't been rolled out and laid out in a manner that these business owners or residents understand. Where we live, Loudoun County, per capita in Loudoun County, we're indebted $4,000. Per capita in Percival, $9,000. Not a joke. I didn't make that up. Our tax increase this year was 17.12%. So there's a lot of things going on in Percival that the rest of the world doesn't know about. It's a great place to live and raise your family, but we have two business owners on 21st Street, Mr. Ogilvie on one corner as you enter in. He was a dentist for 50 years. He owns the building and rents it out. Then there's the Nichols, 100 years. Now, I understand that 6 years ago, per se, 2005 or 6, two men made a big investment. But I'm going to say that 150 years of your family owning property should... You're right. Those of you that said, hey, Mayor Percival, what's going on? You've got some opposition to this grant. This is unprecedented. Well, we've been there to the town, and we'll keep going to the town, and elections have consequences next year, but I want on the record, historically, for whatever reason, especially since you recently received a letter that boggles my mind because I'm a member of that business association, and the different issues that they brought up about this project, constantly still saying that this road floods. Untrue. Do we need to provide notarized statements from the business owners to refute that claim? The Percival Business Association did tell the truth that two of their board members owned businesses on that property, which were crowned with a tourism district, only their pins. There are so many things that are wrong about this. You're going to rubber stamp your vote as you need to. Politicians continue to win over the dissenters, the people who are in the trenches. But ask yourself, when you read that package, those work form letters, but look at the spreadsheet. How many business owners you did not hear from? Why? The town never even went to them. April 2012, the Nichols business owner went to the town addressing this and was ignored, even treated disrespectfully. So what I'm just putting out there, you need to have it on the record, because it's not going to be the last time Percival comes knocking on your door for grants. They've been here and they've gotten a lot of money for grants. It can be a good thing. After listening to this and being at other public hearings, there are other communities that have much greater realistic needs than what our town is asking for. I appreciate your time, and we will send you and continue to send you documentation about what's going on in Percival, that the business owners, they can't be here. They're running their business. So I've come here on their behalf. You'll continue to get information and hear about it. And thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Grimm. Thank you for being here. Jennifer Wampler?
She was the secretary. Is there a 3 minute?
No. Marianne Gadbet?
No limits.
Then Tom Thompson? Oh, I'm sorry. Then Malchus Hesham?
He wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
Secretary, I suggest we get off.
My name is Marianne Gadbian, and I agree with the concerns and issues raised by Congressman Wolf in his letter to the governor on May 14th. I also request the CTE delay any action on the North-South Corridor study, but I'm not sure 30 days is really going to be enough. I have been a real estate developer and a business person for 30 years. I know the rules I have to go through in the event I want to rezone property or I want to file a site plan. I have to send certified letters to everyone within 1,000 feet of the project for their notification. VDOT has not done this. It seems that the people that make the rules don't follow the rules. I'm shocked that VDOT has negotiated in a secretive manner with a programmatic agreement Section 106 with the National Park Service since 2006. What I want to make sure you all understand is there may have been public hearings, but never have the details of the programmatic agreement been brought to the public attention. And this is unique to the people of Prince William County because a mile and a half of this road goes through the historic district and 6.5 miles of this road goes through the Rural Crescent. The National Park Service has, VDOT has negotiated with the National Park Service, and this legally binding document is the blueprint. It will decide everything for what happens in Prince William County. It will decide the land use of thousands of acres, road closures, elimination of people's access and everyday life, and up to 100 properties. And this has not been disclosed by VDOT. The citizens were not aware of this. Our senators were not aware of this. Our delegates were not aware of this, nor were our supervisors. They only became aware of this because several citizens, myself included, brought it to their attention after we spent thousands of dollars for FOIA requests and researched what's been going on. We also found out that our tax dollars are being used our tax dollars are being used for VDOT to pay for a third-party entity to buy our properties after they deny our access at reduced rates for either fee simple purchase or a conservation easement. The signing of a programmatic agreement is really inverse condemnation to over 100 property owners, and it has not been properly disclosed to the public. Another really disrespectful act that occurred to the public was in February when the CTB passed a resolution to state that Route 234 would close when the North-South Corridor, Bi-County Parkway, Tri-County Parkway, whatever the name du jour is completed, and it will be without the requirement for an alternative route, which the alternative route would be the Manassas Battleford Bypass that has no funding and is never going to be built. This resolution has severely tarnished this board's image, and it has lost the public trust of this board. During the upcoming election, I, for one, will be looking at candidates who care about their constituents and are brave enough to stand up for what's right. I will be looking for candidates who will work at restoring the public trust and correct the improper authority that's been granted to appointees and who may have lost sight of who they represent. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gambad. Mr. Hashem, is it? Then Tom Thompson.
That's what.
Then Ken Narr.
My name is Melkis Hashem, and I live on Sanders Lane, which is north of Peaceland. And if this rule comes true, I will lose my house. I moved to this area because I love country life. I live privacy. I like privacy. So if I don't want to move anywhere else. This is a beautiful place, Rural Crescent. So please don't approve this road. I'm not the only person. Everybody who lives on Sanders Lane and Peaceland Lane loves the property. So it would be great if you all please, for God's sake at least, don't build this road. It doesn't bring much economic value to the Prince William County or Lawrence County. There are other alternatives that you can go through. And the other day, Congressman Wolf, whatever he wrote, I mean, it was great. So please, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for being here. Ken Narr, is Ken Narr still here? And then Paige Snyder, then Trip Pollard.
I'm Tom Thompson. I'm a 29-year resident of Pageland Lane in the Gainesville District. I'm also a member of Sudley United Methodist Church for 29 years, which is located on Route 234, adjacent to the Manassas National Battlefield Park. So I'm here as a citizen and a resident that will be directly affected and displaced. I have other alternatives I can use for my family and move elsewhere. I am saddened, however, to the way that the impact will affect Sudley United Methodist Church. That church was in existence before the Manassas National Battlefield Park, where even the first battle took place. In fact, the first church building was used as a field hospital during the First and Second Battle of Manassas, or Bull Run, whichever side you represented. That church building was razed because of the damage during the war, was replaced on the same foundation years later, burned to the ground, a third church that still stands today, which now serves a membership of 700 people. The closure of 234 affecting that church will kill it. We depend on through traffic, the visibility of that through traffic for the life membership of the church. Because the area of Northern Virginia is like a lot of other suburban areas, it's transient. People die, people retire and move, people are transferred, but new people come in. And if you eliminate the 234 visibility, the church will eventually go away. And it has been a viable church within the community and serves the community in many, many ways. Moving on, I am very disheartened that the impact in the whole entire area will have. In 98, the Rural Crescent was established. And I think your chairman was perhaps chairman of the Prince William County Board at that time. I may be wrong, but the time period is very close.
I was the next chairman.
Pardon?
I was the next chairman.
You're the next chairman. Okay. Very close in timing. That Rural Crescent was to help preserve the integrity of the rural area to no less than 10-acre lots. Before that, and in that Gainesville area before, was several thousand homes that were already been zoned and were no longer affected by the Rural Crescent. By bringing this road through north-south corridor, in my opinion, is a developer's haven. Limited access or not, the development will come and the Rural Crescent will be a thing of the past. I concur with everything that Congressman Wolf stated in his letter, which if you have not had the privilege of reading that letter that was sent yesterday to the governor, I encourage you to get that. Even though he was the author of the legislation in 88, bringing forth the ultimate closure of 234 and 29, or at least the study thereof, and certainly, as he so noted in his letter, that the intent of that language and that legislation was that no roads be closed until alternate routes would be in place. And as was previously spoken, that closing 234, which you approved in February, upon the first element of the road, which is basically from 66 to 234, is completed, then that would allow, in my opinion, or in my opinion, would be then able to be closed. I also would like to ask some clarity as to the additional resolution that you made and passed in February of this year, which called for a corridor of statewide significance. And the language in that says that the CTB shall not be constrained by local, district, regional, or modal plans. If I interpret that correctly, and I may be wrong, please correct me if so, but if that is the case, then that means that any of our efforts that we may take to our Board of County Supervisors or any other represent these is basically for naught, that you can just ignore it. I don't know whether what the action you took was legal or would stand up in a court of law. I don't know that answer. I have one final complaint that I'd like to address. Evidently, we struck a nerve, those of us that live in on Paisley Lane and the nearby vicinity. We must have struck a nerve with VDOT, because through the efforts of some citizens, we posted some signs, very well done, in front of our property. No toll road, this road is going to be closed, your commute is going to get worse. That's basically what they were saying. Well, after about 3 or 4 weeks of their being up, all of a sudden VDOT came around and took them down. They actually came out with their measuring tapes, as I was told, and measured from the center line of Paisley 25 feet out. And if you were in that 25 feet, they removed them. Now, let me ask you this. Is my taxpayer dollars being spent in that manner? If so, and I understand that that is the rule, and they were upholding the rule, but if that would be the case, then I want to see VDOT out there on every street, not just Prince William County, but in every county and jurisdiction within the state, removing the for sale signs, the small business signs that you find much closer than the 25-foot mark. So I thank you very much for your consideration on these, on this matter. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Gnar, then Paige Snyder, and then Tripp Pollard.
Good afternoon. Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Kenneth Gnar. United States Marine Corps brought me to Virginia in 1984, and on and off, I've lived in this Commonwealth for 14 years. I retired in this Commonwealth because I loved Prince William County and Quantico, and I continue to serve the Marine Corps in Quantico to this day. I've lived in Prince William County for over the last 10 years, and I'm here to say that the North-South Corridor will only compound the transportation problems in Northern Virginia. VDOT's VDOT's own figures show there is a far greater demand for increased capacity in the east-west routes. The VDOT projected increases in north-south traffic by 2040, the date we've heard today, are a misrepresentation of reality. A portion of these numbers is overly optimistic, if not downright overinflated, projections of the volume of logistics moving in and out of Dulles International Airport. Even if the numbers are accurate, anyone familiar with the deadly mix of privately owned vehicles and commercial tractor trailers on I-81, which was mentioned today, would say this is a recipe for disaster. A significant portion of these numbers is commuters transiting to and from the major east-west routes. Many of the existing north-south roads serve as feeders to the east-west transportation roadways. Closing 234 business and Route 29 through the battlefield, construction of a new road to increase north-south volume, and improvements limited to the Route 15 and Route 28 interchanges will only compound the already unbearable commutes. A simple understanding of the causal relationship suggests a significantly higher return on the over $1 billion investment, an estimate that's already been put out publicly and denied today, would result in increasingly higher capacity on I-66 and Route 50 if it was much more effectively and efficiently use of the taxpayers' dollars, if VDOT would, one, increase the multimodal east-west throughput, and, two, improve the major north-south interchanges associated with these two major roads. Most of the backup, if you go up there in the morning, north and south, is waiting to get on 66. If you increase the throughput north and south, you will increase the backups getting on and off 66. I strongly urge you to oppose further action on this illogical approach to improving transportation in Northern Virginia. This ill-conceived project is full of deception, misinformation, and nothing short of contempt for the hard-working property owners in Prince William, Fauquier, and Fairfax counties. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Paige Schneider, Trip Pollard, and then Richard McKay. McCary?
I have a quick question before I begin. I looked on your website and you had a limited amount of time for citizen input. Is that, will everyone be able to speak today?
Hopefully, but it all depends. But I'm just...
Okay, well, in case that is not the case, could I switch places with someone else who has to leave?
Sure, come on.
Delegate Hugo?
Well, he was coming up pretty close anyway, so... What do you mean you got to go? Where are you going to go? You're in Richmond.
Came to see you. Hey, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much, and I appreciate all your time. Appreciate your leadership on this issue and so many others. And I know a lot of you, most of you are my friends I've known from the Hill or actually working in the legislature, so it's good to see you all through business. And a lot of you know that I was chief of staff to the chairman of the Transportation Committee. I was in Congress, so... I know y'all got a difficult job and a lot of difficult decisions to make, so I respect the work you're doing, and I respect the difficulty of a lot of these decisions you make. You know, with that being said, I obviously have some concerns about this road, and that's why I'm here today, and I appreciate you taking the time. You know, Mr. Kirkpatrick talked about the 88 law in many ways requiring some of the things that you're doing. Well, I think if you look at Congressman Wolf's letter, he said that's not quite accurate. In fact, he said that's not. And if you look at the February decision that y'all rendered here that you voted on, you changed what Congressman Wolf was trying to do. Because what you said at that point is that you closed 234 before you finished the battlefield bypass. That's not what Wolf contemplated, and that's what he says here in his bill. What concerns me, and I'll say this flat out, a lot of you, because you know I'm out of the transportation community, came to me and said, Tim, how are you against or having concerns with this road? And I said, well, did you know it closes 234? Did you know it closes, it traffic calms, then closes 29? And these are my friends on the CTB board said, we didn't know that. We think we're building the Bi-County Parkway, the Tri-County Parkway, the Outer Beltway, the North-South Corridor, whatever you want to call it. I have a real concern about the project overall. It hurts the rural crescent, which you've heard a number of people talk about. I think there's probably better allocation of resources, 2866 project. That being said, I think this is a bad project. I think you make it egregious when you talk about closing 29 and 234. Now, I ask you, and I grew up in the beach, so I see a friend from 23462, another one, I see my friend Thelma. Think about the Southeast Expressway. Now, I know that's a project a lot of you want. Now, is that okay if you build that and then, let's say, close Kempsville Road and Princess Anne? Or what if we close Kempsville and Volvo Parkway a little bit closer? Or if we want to battlefield, if we want to bypass Stafford, down there in Stafford, maybe we'll close Route 1 and 17. That's pretty analogous to what we're talking about. You know, right there by the Speaker's office, we'll close that cord. That's what we're talking about. And I heard, you know, Mr. Kaczynski talking about the Fairfax County Parkway and Prince William Parkway. And if you were just building these roads, I think you have an analogous position. Now, you can disagree whether it needs to be made or not, but when they built the Fairfax County Parkway, they didn't close Rolling Road and they didn't close Old Keene Mill. And when they built the Prince William Parkway, there's no way they closed Liberia and 28. And that's what you're doing. And my problem, my concern is, when I talked to a lot of you, when you came to me, you didn't even know that was happening. And I just ask you to think about it. This is incredibly problematic. Now, how did we get talking about this? You're right, the Pageland folks started this. And Thelma and all you guys that have been elected, Alan, we can't get, you know it is, we can't get 15 people to show up to a town hall meeting if we were paying them. We got 400 people to show up. one night. Mr. Kaczynski stood up there and took it. I appreciate you. You didn't flinch. You put your positions on the table, and you were good about it. Mr. Tyree took it and defended him. But when I asked point blank, when you close 29 in traffic calming, what happens to that traffic from 29? And the answer was, it drops on 66. Well, do you have a traffic study for that? Nope. Do you see our concern? Like I said, I will tell you, I'll have concerns about the project, but when you make it egregious when you close 29 to 234. And truthfully, you'd probably run over us if you weren't doing 29 and 234. You'd probably just plow this thing through. And I got it. But when you do this, and you've cut a deal with the Park Service on this, and when we've seen all the docs, I mean, last year, before you guys even voted on it, there's letters from the Park Service saying, thank you for agreeing to administratively close this road. Thank you also for the $3 million that you're going to give up. I think you see we've got a lot of concern, and it's not just me. When you see Congressman Wolf out there, he's not a flamethrower. He's not one to get out there. I don't get out there at all. I'm the chairman of the Republican caucus, 68 members. I don't get out here lightly on stuff. We had out here with us at the press conference, not flamethrowers. We had Richard Stewart, pretty mainstream guy from down around Cords area. Jill Vogel from the Western Park. Michael Webert. And also I have letters today from Michael Webert that will get passed out to the staff, and also from Randy Minshew. Again, not somebody that gets into theatrics with politics, says, I have real, legitimate concerns. And I hope you read Randy's comments, and I hope you read Michael's comments, because we have serious concerns. This is not NIMBY, necessarily NIMBY. And I understand, I've said, go ahead, you could probably do the improvements there in 28 and 66. That's in my district. Just the other part of my district. I think that makes sense. I just have real problems with the project as a whole. But my friends, when you close 234 and 29, you create a traffic Armageddon from Fauquier to Fairfax and everything in between. So I ask you to think about it, and I really ask you to look what you're voting on, because it did puzzle me when a lot of you called me last time and said, Tim, we didn't close 234 and 29. We didn't do that. But you did. You closed 234 in the CTV agreement of February, CT vote of February. The programmatic agreement that you're on the verge of signing with the Park Service said we will traffic calm 29. Now, when is a traffic calming 29? When is that going to happen? When the battlefield bypass is built? No. Closes 234 the minute you build and open the Tri-County Parkway, North-South Corridor, Outer Beltway. According to the programmatic agreement, 6 months prior to that, you can traffic calm 29. So I'll tell you this. If I was Park Service, what I'd do to you, I'd say, I got 234 closed. I got 29 traffic calmed where nobody's going to use it. You know what? I don't need to build the battlefield bypass. Heck with you guys. And you know what? The vote that you guys did on February, that lets them do that. And when you sign that programmatic agreement, and all of you got to vote on that, that's what happens. You allow them to close those two roads. You'll never have to build a battlefield bypass. You get the north-south corridor, and the people that live here get stuck. So I appreciate you guys taking the time. I've been waiting here 4 hours, so I think you understand how important I think this is. And I think y'all have been very gracious with your time. And I know you've got a lot of important decisions on this. No matter what, you're all my friends. And so thank you for the opportunity to appear before you today. Thanks.
Well, I was going to go back to the list, but come on up, Delvin Marshall.
Well, the reason I stood up is he's my ride.
You've got to sit there and wait then if it's over.
If you really want to annoy him. I would like to read an excerpt from a letter from Senator Black and then give you my own testimony, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. This is from Senator Black. I object to the CTB conducting the meeting in Richmond hours away from the affected area. Delegates and senators representing the areas impacted by the project have conducted two town hall meetings to hear citizens' concerns. Roughly 400 people turned out at each meeting, and their opposition to this project appeared nearly unanimous. It seems quite irregular to conduct this particular hearing at a distant location. The project threatens to eliminate 100 homes and to disrupt traffic flow through Western Prince William. I see no justification for rushing this project forward, and I urge you to conduct meetings in Western Prince William County and Loudoun County so the affected citizens can express their concerns about the project. Sincerely, Richard H. Black, Senator of Virginia, 13th District. Now, Mr. Chairman, for my own testimony. I have to agree with Congressman Wolf. The two banner points he lists in his judgment as problematic with this project are a lack of transparency and claims respecting freight use at Dulles Airport. He says, I've spoken to officials at the Metropolitan Washington Airports Authority and been told proponents of the North-South Corridor should not claim that the project will lead to an increase in cargo being handled at the airport. I am told proponents of the North-South Corridor know this. Now, I actually called, Mr. Chairman, representatives of FedEx and UPS because a statement was made by representatives of the McDonnell administration at a meeting at which your deputy secretary attended and CTB member Garzinski were there, that both UPS and FedEx were in favor of this route. Well, I talked to a mid-level employee of FedEx in New Jersey. They knew nothing about the road. Now, that's not a definitive answer. It wasn't the person totally in charge of public affairs, but they were unaware of it. I did, however, talk to Mark Alagna, who's the vice president for corporate public affairs for UPS in Washington, D.C. He told me that UPS does not support this road, that they are unaware of this road, and they were not pleased that VDOT representatives made the claim that they were supporting the road. So at some point, whoever's making these claims here should tell everybody where they get their sources, because I can't verify it. Designating I-95 to Route 7, Potomac River, or near Potomac River, as a north-south corridor of statewide significance represents a transportation planning novelty. Mr. Secretary, I asked you several questions on April 30th, one of which stated whether any previous corridor of statewide significance had ever been approved by the CTB where no road already existed. If so, which road and what was the date of its adoption? Now, I did receive two documents from your office, but, in other words, justifying the north-south corridor, but nothing was in there providing data indicating traffic flow, nor was there any discussion of whether or not any corridor of statewide significance had been made in the absence of an existing road. So my question still is there. This is important because the lack of data demonstrating the specific need or utility for a corridor other than claims of general congestion and the omission of reference to prior practice in adopting a corridor of statewide significance with no existing road suggests the road could not meet conventional established criteria for such a designation and is being built for other unarticulated reasons. This raises all the worst kinds of suspicions in the community, and rightly so. There's also been a lack of adequate notice of the North-South Corridor, Outer Beltway, Western Bypass, or whatever you want to call it. I do recall back in the 1990s that the leadership of both the money committees in the House and the Senate emphatically rejected what looks like this road with an amendment from Senator Chichester, was supported by Democrats and Republicans. VDOT's public notice last December in papers of local circulation in Loudoun and Prince William about meetings in Ashburn and Manassas did not specify the names of any roads, communities, or postal areas that were affected by the proposed corridor, nor were any maps provided to the public to alert the general public of the affected areas. How can you expect this to be adequate information of the citizenry? I can't. Citizens were instead directed to submit their responses by regular mail to a consulting firm in Rockville or by email to the governor's office. No maps, no roads, no names, no anything. That's not informing the public. That's covering information up. The original notice, in fact, according to an individual who did eventually attend the meeting, was advertised in the wrong location. Prince William's own Department of Transportation did not correctly identify the meeting place as the Four Point Sheraton until 5 days before the meeting. And the Northern Virginia Transportation Alliance had incorrectly advertised it in their literature as the meeting on December 17th. Holding a CTB meeting more than 100 miles from the project in the middle of a weekday where most of the commuters affected by the project cannot in all practicality attend a meeting is a profound disservice to citizens. Reflect on this fact and consider that America's founders detected the same fault in Britain's King George. The Declaration of Independence states, he has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the repository of their public records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. The CTB should hold meetings in Loudoun and Prince William for input, not just announcing a fiat decision. Now, the CTB did not follow its own selection criteria in establishing the Northern Virginia North-South Corridor of statewide significance. VDOT's March 2011 overview presentation list, which the Secretary did furnish me, lists four criteria for statewide corridor selection. Criteria four states, quote, provides a statewide function and or addresses statewide goals, evacuation route, or critical redundancy. All four criteria are supposed to be met. Yet the CTB has agreed to close routes 29 and 234 in Manassas National Battlefield Park, even though elsewhere VDOT acknowledges that 70% of persons would not use the interstates to leave the D.C. and Northern Virginia area in cases of an emergency. The CTB has reversed itself on major components of the Western Bypass, and this has increased public mistrust of the project. Referenced earlier was the switch or the change on closing the battlefield. That is, does not engender trust, it engenders suspicion. The CTB, moreover, has not given an objective look at the Western Bypass and its alternatives. Improving the interchange at I-66 and Route 28 is far less costly, does not require condemnation of land, and does not require dislocating citizens than the Tri-County Western Bypass would. An improved interchange there would, if you double the capacity of the off-ramp on Route 66 onto Route 28 towards Dulles, very cheaply done. Build a grade separator interchange to relieve the backup caused by the congestion at Walney and Braddock Road and 28, which is the only stoplight between 66, and then you can go all the way to Route 7. There are no stoplights at that point. $5 million would be the cost that you need to have a switchable lanes in Manassas Park to the Fairfax line, and as Delegate Hugo said, three-laning the rest of it would be a very simple job. But when the Piedmont Environmental Council recently asked for the rough cost of an interchange or an overpass at Braddock and Walney Roads in 28, VDOT claimed the structure would cost $106 million. Yet a similar overpass with wider bridge section in Manassas over the Norfolk Southern train cost $44 million, roughly 2.5 times less. Now lastly, using tolls to conduct the northern north-south western bypass raises serious constitutional concerns. I refer to the case that was lost in Portsmouth Circuit Court by VDOT, the governor, and the attorney general, who lost the toll road case in Portsmouth to representatives represented by Patrick McSweeney, the attorney who represented me in my successful lawsuit in Marshall versus NVTA. If this road is approved as a toll road, you are begging for a lawsuit. The court held in Portsmouth, you don't have the authority to directly impose a toll. Only the direct representatives of the people, the delegates and senators, are allowed to do that. That refers also back to the case which I won 7-0 over the governor, the attorney general, and the speaker. So, Mr. Chairman, members of this committee, thank you very much for allowing me to have the time to speak to you. I appreciate
it. Okay, Ms. Snyder, Mr. Pollard, then McCary, Richard McCary.
Thank you for letting me switch. And my name is Paige Snyder. Whoops, I can only see short distances with these. My name is Paige Snyder, and I live on Pageland Farm, Pageland Lane. I do want to admit that for me this is a NIMBY thing, because my backyard is a national park, Manassas National Battlefield Park, and my family and I have struggled for years, one issue after another, to try to protect and preserve the park, and this is just another in a long list of battles we have fought, and which, incidentally, we've won them all so far. I had written down remarks ahead of time, but as the meeting progressed, I feel like there's a couple things I want to address. First of all, I'm sick to death of hearing about how this has been in the works for 20 years, and the implication that, you know, that there wasn't much citizen input, that is just not true. There have been several reincarnations of this project over the years, and citizens have put in input when they had the opportunity to do so, which have been limited and too structured. And the there has been serious concern about this since the very beginning, and we have a lot of information about that, which I will get to in a sec. I wrote notes all over the place here. And I did want to say that one of the things that I, Secretary Tanaton, I think, mentioned was, or I guess Mr. Kilpatrick, thank you, is that that's true. You cannot deny access to people if you take away their road. But denying access and providing some other circuitous route that might be two or three times long to get to where you're going are two different things. And that's one of the things we're concerned about. Right now we have direct access, and as it looks, if they don't provide us with some, you know, direct access, I'll end up going 5 miles down the road to get on the Tri-County Park. We come 5 miles back to go right by my farm again. So I don't consider that a fair deal. I want to read you some excerpts from a letter that my mother Annie Snyder sent to VDOT and then Governor Wilder back in 1990. And these facts are still relevant today. As chairman of the Save the Battlefield Coalition, I would like to formally express my opposition to and contempt for what is sometimes called the Outer Beltway and often labeled the developer's road. We are especially concerned about the impact of any such highway on the integrity of Manassas National Battlefield Park and the Historic District. No one wants another Battle of Manassas, but the adoption of this monster road could easily be a spark that ignites it. Financial descriptors for this road, beginning with B for billions, are cited as its price tag. Much of the open space surrounding the corridor would be sacrificed to the roadway, either in the land consumed by its construction or from the flurry of development that is sure to follow and surround the route. This road corridor is like a weed that can't be killed and raises its ugly head any time the developers gain the ear of officials in Richmond. In doing so, it compromises our local governing and officials, and their commitment to our land use plan is undermined by outside forces. Why is government continuing to have VDOT study a plan for a road that will cost billions and benefit developers at the expense of those who will ultimately pay the price for it? That the Washington metropolitan region cries out for better transportation modes is not disputed. What is in question is the amount of money it will take to benefit so few at the cost of so many. There has not been an adequate opportunity for public input. I'd like to thank Mr. Krasinski for suggesting or introducing a motion to delay any decision until at least after the June meeting. I think that's prudent, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Snyder. Ms. Pollard, this is Mr. McCary, and then go to Bob Chase.
Good afternoon. I'm Trip Pollard, the Director of the Land and Community Program with the Southern Environmental Law Center. We've heard quite a bit already about these various road projects. There's a whole nest of issues. I think Mr. Kilpatrick did a very good job of explaining to you all the interconnections, although the only thing that is on your agenda today was, and still is, at least for now, the north-south corridor. It's integrally tied up with the Bi-County Parkway or Tri-County Parkway, the Manassas Battlefield Bypass, and the newest addition, the proposed Dulles Access Corridor, whatever the acronym we need to come up with for that one. And all of these roads, and you've heard from a lot of legislators and citizens about it, these roads do raise serious questions about land use impacts, traffic impacts, safety impacts, the need for these. I won't go into those in any detail at all, because since the what is on your agenda for today is the quarter of statewide significance plan. I wanted to just say a little bit directly about that. First is the lack of public input. And while there has been time, as has been said, some of these processes on some of the particular projects have been around, kicking around for quite a while. The quarter of statewide significance was, as Delegate Marshall mentioned, adopted and added to your list of corridors, not complying with your new policy for how you add corridors. And the only public meetings that were held were both held right at the holidays. We raised concerns about that at the time. The notice came out and they were held immediately before Christmas. We then added one more, and that was immediately after New Year's. So there really hasn't been a good opportunity for public input, and I just wanted to clarify that. There also has been inadequate information provided to enable the public to input on the scoping or development of alternatives for this plan. And that's really the other key concern that I have with the plan that's before you, is the lack of alternatives. It's an issue that goes, and you've heard some reference to it in particular with some of these particular projects that are proposed, but it's an issue that plagues the quarter study plan as well. And that is that only two almost identical alternatives were studied. Public was only allowed to review and look at a 45-mile north-south highway and then another option that had HOV, HOT lanes, and express bus service. There are other alternatives, as we heard from a number of speakers already. In addition, concern with this plan is that while it's labeled a multimodal master plan, as the report acknowledges, there will only be marginal changes in mode share if this plan is implemented. If you just look at the money, over $1 billion to implement, and of that, $1.1 billion or more for roadway projects and just $77 million for transit and anything else. And there's been very little attention paid to the potential role of rail in addressing one of the supposed needs for this project, and that's transferring freight. But the fundamental problem here is that by advancing the Tri-County Parkway project as the center of this study, you prejudice the alternatives of the study, and you really never engage in a true mode-neutral planning exercise, which is what this whole concept of corridors of statewide significance and their studies is supposed to be all about. And it's a corridor we strongly support. I mean, a concept we strongly support. But it needs to be done properly, and it has not been done properly in this case. More deeply and beyond this, I think the evidence does continue to show the limited need for this project. As many people have already mentioned today, the dominant traffic movement is east-west rather than north-south, and the benefits are limited. Finally, just like to say that the environmental and community impacts in this plan have not been adequately studied. Although it states protection of environment, historic, and community resources are a key goal, there's no discussion in this plan of the alternative's impacts on these resources, other than just identifying where resources exist. So in summary, I would certainly support it. Mr. Karzynski's motion, I urge you all to support that of putting this off at least a month. But I think it's taking you down the wrong path. As Secretary Connaughton noted, this is a visioning plan. That is the purpose of this. It doesn't make the specific decisions about specific projects. Those are ones you'll make elsewhere. But this visioning plan is important for where you're headed, and I would say it is the wrong vision, and I would urge you to reject it. I'd also urge you to revisit some of the decisions you've made about the particular projects. Those are, as the Secretary correctly stated, where you'll actually be addressing what will happen in terms of particular projects, because I do think that the impacts still have not been adequately considered and that there are better alternatives. Thank you.
Thanks, Ms. Pollard. Hey, I thought you delegates had to leave early. You jumped line. All right. We snagged them. All right, Ms. Picari, go ahead, and then Mr. Chase, and then Bassan Paul.
Mr. Secretary, Mr. Chairman, and members of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. My name's Richard McCary. I'm past president of the Committee for Dulles. Committee for Dulles has been in existence for nearly 50 years and is dedicated to achieving the full potential of Washington Dulles International Airport and the economic growth of the region surrounding the airport. And just as a side, Dulles right now handles between 22 and 23 million passengers a year. At its full potential, when everything is completed, it will have the capacity to handle 55 million passengers on an annual basis. So please keep that in mind when you're making your deliberations. Washington Dulles International Airport is widely acknowledged to be a major economic engine for the Commonwealth. The airport's ability to fulfill its potential is heavily dependent upon improved accessibility for passengers, freights, and employees. Improved north-south multimodal transportation between I-95 and Prince William County and Route 750 and the Dulles Greenway in Loudoun County is essential for regional congestion relief and helps to fulfill the continued success of Dulles Airport. Job creation and sustained regional prosperity are heavily dependent upon a mobile and accessible workforce. Loudoun and Prince William counties are among Virginia's fastest growing communities. The Metropolitan Washington Council of Government projects that much of the region's future population and job growth will occur in or adjacent to these counties. Attracting and keeping cutting-edge employers requires improved mobility. Currently, there are few north-south limited access roads. The Tri-County Parkway will add to the opportunities to move people in the region while protecting environmentally sensitive areas and limiting access and egress. We support the development and the completion of the north-south corridor. Mr. Chairman, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Gary. Mr. Chase? Then is it Bassan Fowles, and then Nancy?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. I'm Bob Chase with the Northern Virginia Transportation Alliance. I'm not sure if this is an Ironman competition or the Survivor Series.
I think this is the longest one.
In any event. The six-year plan presentation that we saw this morning is an important reminder of the debt of gratitude that we all owe to those legislators, men and women who supported the transportation funding bill. And it's kind of frightening to think about what would have happened if more of those folks had joined with those who had opposed that funding bill, where we would be today. Secondly, I want to commend the CTB for establishing the North-South Corridor and remind the CTB members that it is doing so at the direction of the General Assembly and its legislation that was passed by unanimous vote by members of both the House and the Senate. So every member who was there at the time voted, thought this was a great idea. So you are carrying out what some of the folks who are talking to you today are concerned about this thing. You shouldn't be doing it. They actually voted to say this is exactly what you should be doing. Third, I think that, concerns and opposition of people who own homes or people who seek to develop homes in this area are certainly something that needs to be taken into consideration, and I think this is something that the Secretary today and the Department has said that they recognize that ongoing meetings and discussions need to happen. But not wanting something to happen is a different issue than whether or not there's a need for something to happen. And again, that because people don't necessarily agree with or deny the facts, don't change the facts. And this is very important for us all to remember. This corridor has been studied for decades, and alternatives have been studied for decades. And this is the decision that was made several years ago with public input, that this is where we should build a bi-county parkway. It is this body's responsibility. You are charged with addressing needs, statewide needs, doing the necessary studies, but at the end of the day, making the decisions that are important for communities as a whole, the region as a whole, the state as a whole. That's your charge. And so I think that, today, as the Secretary and others have emphasized, the Commonwealth is committed to continuing discussions, to continuing to take public input, what you're being asked to decide is simply to accept a vision plan that you commissioned, which has been completed, and we believe that we need to move forward with this process, again, consulting with the public throughout. But clearly, the Bi-County Parkway and this entire corridor, the need for these have been well documented, and the completion of this is critical for Loudoun and Prince William counties, which are home to 800,000 people today, will be home to well over 1 million people in not too long from now, the entire Northern Virginia region and the Commonwealth as a whole. So we hope that you will accept this study and that we can move forward to build the Bi-County Parkway and over time improve the 234 corridor. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So is it Bassan, Paul? That's what.
Mr. Secretary, members of the Commonwealth Transportation Board, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is actually Brian Falls. Obviously, my handwriting is getting a little sloppy. I apologize for that. I am the Government Affairs Manager for the Loudoun County Chamber of Commerce. And on behalf of the Chamber and our 1,200 member businesses, I respectfully request the CTV to formally accept and begin implementation of the recommendations in the North-South Corridor of Statewide Significance Master Plan. I would especially urge the board to focus on the most immediate need for improvement within this corridor, the Bi-County Parkway, a limited access highway which would extend the Route 234 bypass in Prince William County north to Route 50 in Loudoun County with an eventual connection to the Dulles Airport. We believe the Bi-County Parkway is vitally needed to provide safe, fast, interregional travel between commuters and commerce in northern Prince William and eastern Loudoun. We believe it better balances the regional transportation network and supports job creation and shorter commutes in these areas. We believe it diverts growing volumes of interregional traffic away from neighborhood roads and preserves the quality of life of those local communities. And we believe it provides improved access for travelers, businesses, and shippers to Dulles Airport from northern Prince William County and many parts of Virginia served by I-95, Route 29, I-66, and related corridors of statewide significance. 5 of Virginia's corridors of statewide significance currently serve Virginia's seaports at Hampton Roads. None of the existing corridors connect with the international gateway of the Washington Dulles International Airport. None. The North-South Corridor rectifies this deficiency. But Dulles Airport is by no means the only employer who will benefit from the Bi-County Parkway and the North-South Corridor. Over the past decade, Loudoun has been one of the fastest growing job markets in the United States, and has been mentioned before, projected growth is exponential. Today, 9,500 businesses employing more than 137,000 people make Loudoun County their home. Organizations like Orbital Sciences Corporation, Raytheon, Federal Express, Wegmans, Verizon, and George Mason University will all benefit from improved north-south connectivity. In addition, Loudoun County has a vibrant rural economy. From our world-class vineyards, high-quality livestock, and thoroughbred horses to our gourmet produce, the products of Loudoun County's rural businesses are in high demand. And these businesses can only benefit from a road connecting them to more national and international customers. The Loudoun County Chamber of Commerce fully understands that the North-South Corridor is a master plan, a vision, to be implemented over the next 30 years or so. Throughout that long-term process, we strongly support efforts to work with stakeholders to address questions of appropriate rights of way, preservation of cultural heritage, protection of private property rights, and environmental stewardship to ensure that everyone is a winner. I cannot, however, understate the importance of improving north-south connectivity if Loudoun County and the Commonwealth are to sustain their economic strength and quality of life. Mr. Secretary, members of the board, construction of the Bi-County Parkway and the North-South Corridor will have a positive impact on Loudoun County for generations to come. On the flip side, not building these roads will have a profound negative impact. I ask you today to do the right thing for the residents and businesses of Loudoun County by formally accepting and beginning implementation of the North-South Corridor of Statewide Significance Master Plan. Thank you.
Nancy Heitzu, and then Robin Bartok, then Carol Welty.
Good afternoon, Mr. Secretary. It's nice seeing you in Richmond instead of Prince William. For the record, members of the board, my name is Nancy Heitzu, and I'm the Vice President of Government Relations for the Prince William Chamber of Commerce. On behalf of the Prince William Chamber and our over 2,000 member businesses, I'm here to formally request that your body do move forward and formally accept the plan and begin implementing the recommendations of the master plan for the north-south corridor of statewide significance. We also urge that this board focus on the most immediate need for improvement on the Bi-County Parkway. Construction of the Bi-County Parkway Route 234 extension and the upgrading of the 234 corridor are vital to Prince William's economic future. The Prince William Chamber has long had as a priority in our policy agenda for providing better north-south access through the Bi- and Tri-County Parkways to alleviate the pressure on our east-west roads by providing better north-south access. If any of you have traveled through Prince William, you know that in order to go north or south, you do have to go east or west, because we do not have north or south roads. The Chamber believes that this Bi-County Parkway is vital to help Prince William become a more attractive business location, as our economic development departments in our county and our two cities will often tell us, concerns that they hear from businesses looking to relocate either around Virginia to Prince William or from other states is the congestion getting in and out of Prince William County through places either north or west, but primarily to Dulles Airport. The Bi-County Parkway will also provide a key link and improve access to George Mason University's Prince William campus, as well as our Innovation Research Park. And as many of you are probably aware, the Innovation Research Park is Virginia's only bioscience research park. It is poised to become the next true hub of research and innovation in Virginia, and is certainly a commitment by George Mason University to help make that happen. However, better access to our international port and to other employment centers to our north and east are imperative for the improvement of that node. We also believe that the Bi-County Parkway will enable more Prince William residents to be able to live and work in Prince William, just much as the Fairfax County Parkway did about 20 years ago. By making innovation more attractive as a corporate center, we will be able to employ more of our residents at home, alleviating congestion that develops more on 66 and 95 as our residents, over 60% of our residents, in fact, that commute out of Prince William on a daily basis to jobs in Fairfax County, Arlington, and the District of Columbia. We also believe that this parkway will actually protect our existing communities by diverting the growing volumes of traffic, through traffic that are occurring on our neighborhood roads, and preserving the quality of life and safety of our local communities. And finally, we believe that the Bi-County Parkway is vital to providing improved access for travelers, businesses, and shippers to Dulles Airport from Prince William County and many parts of Virginia. We many times hear from our businesses that are manufacturing materials in Prince William County, namely Micron, BAE, and Lockheed, that they primarily use services such as FedEx or UPS out of Dulles Airport to get all their goods out of Prince William, but that they are limited on the number of vehicles that they can get in and out because of the congestion that they face trying to get up 28 to, or 266 and up to the airport. Continued improvement of our regional transportation systems is a primary economic development goal of the Prince William Chamber. Transportation infrastructure is a crucial element in supporting area growth and development. And as Northern Virginia's and Prince William's transportation needs are anticipated to only continue to grow over the next 30 years, new projects are necessary. And moving forward on such vital connectivity projects such as the North-South Corridor are necessary to ensure our region's ability to effectively and efficiently move people and improve our commerce. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you being here. Robin Bartok and Carol Whitley. Welty.
Good afternoon. It's been a long afternoon, and I understand that because I sit at many of these meetings myself. My name is Robin Bartok, and I'm staff aide to Chairman Scott York, Loudoun County Board of Supervisors. He can't be here today as chairman of TPB. You guys have your meetings at the same time. He's been to his meeting. He's back in Loudoun, and he's doing the board meeting now. So I ask that you bear with me. He likes numbers, so I have a number of points to make to you. But in sitting here, I've got to step away from his script, and he'd be shaking his head that I'm doing it. But I have to say, I have to go back to the whole comment about vision. And that's what you're charged with, and that's what this is about. It's about a vision. And it just stymies me that the people aren't seeing that, and that they're trying, that legislators are not seeing that. To me, that's what they're charged with. It's planning and so the vision. And so the other part that got mentioned by some of those line butters was the whole issue about vetting and about that the people didn't know and the people didn't hear. Yet they all got up here and talked about, well, there were 400 people here and there were 400 people at that meeting. Well, how is it that they didn't know if there were 400 here and 400 there? And to say, well, this wasn't a good time, any of us in this know that there's never a good time. I don't care what date you pick. There's going to be a reason. Somebody's going to tell you it's not a good time. So those are my little side comments, and I will go to the chairman's script. So he has asked me to say these things. Stay with me. This corridor has long been planned by both Loudoun and Prince William counties. Loudoun plans call for this facility to be a combination of a 4-to-6-lane divided road with controlled access. The Board of Supervisors, reaffirmed its support for this plan last year. Number two, the Board of Supervisors also voted in support of the state's concept of the North-South Corridor. Number three, except for Route 15, this corridor is the only direct transportation link between Loudoun and Prince William, where growth is still continuing to occur. Number four, the North-South Corridor is needed in order to support the continued growth of Loudoun County, which is over 330,000 citizens today and will grow to over 400,000 citizens by 2020. The North-South Corridor will help to preserve Route 15, which is our journey through Hollowed Ground Corridor. When you were talking about earlier and you talked about Fairfax Parkway, when I look at the map, the only other north-south you've got is Route 15. And I wonder what Kate McGinnis Wyatt would think about that and about the residents on that road. And they're the ones that should be here in support, because they have to think about what's going to happen if you don't do this road, because that's where it's going to go. Number six, the road is needed in order to address the continued growth of the employment centers of Loudoun and Prince William and the continued growth of Dulles International Airport. Number seven, neither Route 28 nor Route 15 will be able to handle the additional capacity needed for this continued growth. Number eight, I got to do this, because if he were here, this is what he would be doing. What it is not, and I repeat, is not, and he would come out and say, a beltway, okay? It is not a beltway. It is not an outer beltway. It doesn't go around.
Could you show us that again?
It goes like this. But he would be, excuse me, it would be like this. Okay. But he would be saying it is not the outer beltway. The road is not circling around anything. At the northern end of this corridor, there is literally a $53 million middle school, a soon-to-be $110 million high school, and the National Conference Center that is currently building a $20 million parking garage. Therefore, I would ask for the chairman for the CTB support of this corridor so that it can work together to keep our citizens and our commerce moving. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Go, Patrick, if you can make sure you don't do that at that public meeting.
Quarterback. Aaron Rodgers goes to quarterback.
The double check.
The last person signed up.
Right.
This is the
end.
I'm
the last one? Okay, thank you. Well, thank you very much for waiting for me to talk. I'm going to depart a little bit from my prepared speech, too, but I wanted to let you know that I brought you all each a copy of a letter today from the North-South Corridor Implementation Group, and I'd like it to be part of today's public record. When there are pros and cons to everything, when we do nothing, we all lose. So these 11 groups and all of these people as part of this implementation group are here as as partners who want to work with you as this vision becomes a reality. There will be some things that need to be dealt with, and they can be dealt with. We don't see this as an absolutely yes or an absolutely no, but it's a part of the process, and they definitely see that the Bi-County Parkway part of it is very, very critical to the entire vision, and they support seeing it go forward. So I know you've got another 30 days. I'm sure we'll be seeing each other again on this, and thank you very much.
Looking forward to it. Thank you very much. Okay, that closes out citizens' comment time. We will go to the minutes of April 17th.
So moved.
Second.
Any changes? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. Actually, we're going to move up number 2 to 1. We have some troopers here. Anyone want Mr. Hetzel? And then I recognize that we have Lieutenant Colonel Bobby Norton here as well.
Mr. Chairman, since we're taking that item first, I think those gentlemen are going to come and assist me at the podium.
Great. All right. We have Captain Chumley and Lieutenant Colonel Norton.
Okay. Just a quick thank you for the action that the board's going to take today to honor the memory of Trooper Walker, and I'm going to let Captain Steve Chumley, who was his division commander, say just a few words to you.
I also want to extend a gratitude of thanks. I've spoke with his wife several times over the last 3 or 4 weeks, and the family is very honored and moved of the action that you will be voting on today. And as you know, Trooper Walker was stopping to help somebody that was broke down on the side of the road. And unfortunately, tragically, he was shot multiple times. So he's an icon in his community, a public servant, served over 35 years as a state trooper, in fact, was getting close to retiring, probably would have been retiring this month. So just a little background of who he was, and he was just an incredible man, incredible servant, and thank you for what you're doing today.
Captain, thank you very much. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being here. Thank you for your service. Mr. Cole.
It is my honor to move approval of this resolution.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. Number one.
Mr. Chairman, the other item is an abandonment of frontage road in the city of Chesapeake. The abandonment was made possible by local development that has created a better access road serving these parcels. We have support from the locality and have followed our public involvement process.
Move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Ms. Corey.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I have an action on two-truck restriction on Route 42 Business and Route 290 in the town of Dayton, Rockingham County. We've done the studies and recommend approval.
Squidward.
Yes, sir. I make a motion to approve this.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Richter. Ms. Richter. Allison. Did I not say that right?
Good afternoon. I'm sorry. I'm Allison Richter, Fredericksburg District. I'm here to present a resolution for you to enter into a memorandum of understanding with the Department of Conservation and Recreation, Department of Historic Resources, the Virginia Tourism Authority, and the National Park Service to establish a protocol for formal cooperation and coordination on the Potomac National Heritage Scenic Trail. This would be similar to a similar one that was done on the Appalachian Scenic Trail previously, and basically will just allow us to have a coordination agreement for the next 10 years, and this trail crosses Northern Virginia and Fredericksburg districts.
We have approval. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Brewer.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I have a request from King George County for recreational access funding. The funding would provide an access point to a new park that the county is developing at Perkins Corner. We've estimated the cost at $195,000 and recommend an allocation of $195,000 from the recreational access fund for the project.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Mitchell?
Good afternoon. My first item that I have for you today is our usual monthly transfers. I don't think there's anything unusual in there, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
We have a motion of
approval for the transfers.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay.
Second item is one amendment to the program. It's an urban project in Northern Virginia being funded with urban formula funds, and I'll be happy to answer a question if you have one.
Ms. Karzynski? All those in favor say aye.
Mr. Chairman.
What's up, sorry, Ms. Paul?
I have a question.
Sure.
I don't think we're in Russia. Is this new money?
No, this is old previous money from back in 2000. Yeah, they took it off an old project and moved it. So.
That's fine. Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
As opposed? Okay. Ms. Thrasher?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I have two limited access requests to pertain to, one in our Bristol district, exit 5 along I-81, the second on exit 140, the I-95 is route 630 interchange. We're also asking for location approval.
I'll call them together since
second.
Those who say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. So that we did A and B together.
Mr. Secretary.
Yes.
Brett Thrasher is, this is the first time he's been before the CTP, and he's the new state location and design engineer. He, as you know, Mohammed Musashi moved up to be the chief deputy commissioner. I mean,
Charlie, he's a great presentation, Charlie.
He's going to take Mr. Kilpatrick's life.
We can't have these long meetings.
Sorry. Oh, boy. Wish you left early today, if you know. It's been a long day, Mr. Secretary. Mohammed moved up to be the deputy chief engineer, is what I meant to say. And Bart Thrasher is now the new
two for two.
Location designer.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, sir.
Welcome.
We have a motion.
I move to accept the proposal.
All right, I'll second it.
I'm sorry, I had to call you this time. You feel better? All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right, Mr. Child. Now where is Mr. Karzynski?
In here either.
All right, who wants to do the motion?
The motion, we defer till next meeting.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
The next meeting.
Next meeting? Whichever.
Where did he go?
I don't know. It must have been something like that. Yeah.
Very kind, very kind. Maybe we should ask you.
Is this the one?
Gary,
we
need your...
It's already been voted on.
No, we've already...
How to substitute motion.
We lost it by one vote.
Yeah.
All right. Angel, where are you? Come on up.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
I'm here to talk about agenda item number 11, I-66, which is an east-west corridor in Northern Virginia.
Don't mistake it for north-south.
We never work on.
As discussed with this board last month, VDOT and the Department of Rail and Public Transportation have issued a draft Tier 1 environmental impact statement studying 10 improvement concepts for the I-66 corridor. The resolution before you is to advance for further study 7 of those 10 concepts. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Ms. Lauderbach.
Just one quick question on that. I noticed the breakdown on some of these studies or some of these parts of it were metro and highway and all as a combination of what factor would be the dollars. I assume that the percentage has been as to how much the metro or the high-speed rail would be as a percentage of the value of that improvement. You follow what I'm saying?
No. Did you? Sorry.
Well, I mean, the budget component, the total dollar, was there any consideration as to how much the metro or the high-speed rail rose to that total dollar?
Yes, we can break down all those figures for you by the components, for sure.
Okay, so I'm sorry. So we have a motion?
No, we're still in the
discussion. Mr. Gorzynski?
Motion.
Do you have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. All opposed? Thank you very much. Okay, this next one is it's completely up to you. I just put it in there because I didn't think there was much controversy about awarding this contract. If the board wants to wait until next month, that's what we normally do, but it's completely up to the board.
We won't. Will we get any different information next month?
No.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. Okay. Construction division bids.
The railroad crossing on 29 and Litton Hall Road will finish June 30th, 2015, on time and on budget right now. Two projects before you, one $25 million design bid build project, York County. The other one is design build project in Fairfax County, $11 million. We're seeking recommend toward those two projects.
Recommend approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second. Motion. Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. New business, land disposition. Pete?
Yes, I move approval.
Anyone here to...
Second.
Mr. Campbell.
What are we disposing?
I spoke to Mr. Peek a week or so ago regarding a situation in Farmville where we have a vacant shop. It's been vacant for approximately 3 years. We've been approached by Longwood University asking that we transfer that property to them for them to use the store and maintain and repair their equipment. They don't have a comparable facility at this time. Our district people are in favor of it, and we've all approved it. Longwood is very desirous of obtaining this, and we have prepared a decision brief and a resolution asking the board to approve this as to declare this surplus so we can proceed with this transfer to Longwood University.
As federal memo, and it stays with the Commonwealth, so I move to adopt this resolution.
Second. Can I have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Thank you.
Any other new business? Motion adjourned.
So moved.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Got to check on that because I thought you guys might want to hang out a little bit longer. All right, means adjourned. See you next month or see you during the 6-year plan hearing.
I know. Yeah, I mean, we're dead traffic now. Ugh.